Hi everybody, welcome to the Game Audio Podcast, episode number 8, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Damien?
I think we should give up numbering because we just jump around and do whatever we need to.
This is true. All right, so this is the game episode called Post-GDC. It's somewhere in the sub 10 category of numbering. today we have two very excited hosts, but no guests because we're so excited we can't share the space with anybody else. And we actually liked the one we did around Christmas because it was nice and quick and easy to get out the door. So we're going to try and repeat that today and get you something like a bit hot off the press compared to the other episodes that we've done so far.
And so GDC was last week. It happened. It was fast.
I wasn't there. It was awful. I was sitting here finally in the brand new studio, which is really awesome, by the way. I'm doing a shout out to the studio builders. This company called Mutrox in the Netherlands, and they build us fabulous rooms. We have four rooms here now that have 60 decibels of dampening, so the other people in the company are very pleased as well. And inside, it's a very pleasant environment to work. So that's my little shout out to Mutrox.
Sounds totally awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
I'll put up some pictures when we put up with the podcast.
It sounds fantastic. Well, yeah, so GDC happened, and it was a sprint from beginning to end, a marathon that just never ended. And there was an interesting concept floating around that GDC was to games in relation to sessions being like cutscenes and everything else being like gameplay. And so all the hallway conversations and all the late nights out were game on. And let's just say I skipped a lot of cutscenes during this gameplay and focused on that outside of the sessions conversations. And that's not to say I didn't go to any, but man, there were so many good people to speak with and get insight from, and there really was a metagame to just talking to people and hearing what was going on.
Yeah, I was talking to Arjen Brousset, the creative director here at Guerrilla Games, and he said audio was big this year, so I was like, yeah, I should have been there. But so tell me, what was the biggest hype in GDC 2011 game audio wise? Or do you want to start with in general? Like, did you notice anything in general?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit biased because, to tell you the truth, you know, I got to meet and speak with all of the different audio middleware manufacturers on the floor. That includes Audio Kinetic and Wyze, Firelight and FMod, a couple of new kids on the block with Gigantic Software and Periscope and their Psy engine. Miles made an interesting showing this year and really stepped up their game with regards to their tool set and implementation. And so there was a lot of really good movement on that side of things. And so pretty biased, right? But at the same time, some really great work being done in the audio middleware category.
And what kind of developments are you seeing that you're excited about? Because we've heard, you know, so much, especially from FMod and Wyze, what their procedural stuff, mixing stuff. Did you hear any other directions they were taking things?
Well, and this is maybe a question to the subliminal side of the pervasiveness of procedural audio specifically, and again, a pretty heavy bias here, but with Wyze's SoundSeed offerings in the past, and the recently announced audio gaming procedural plugins for FMod, there's definitely an insurgence of procedural audio on those two middleware platforms. Now, outside of that, it was interesting to be able to count at least 8 professional procedural game audio people on the ground at GDC. And really, compared to a few years ago, I think that number is tripled or quadrupled in what was previously, the procedural audio contingent, if you will. And so to me, there's a bit of a groundswell happening there. There were 2 procedural audio talks as part of the audio track, one from Microsoft R&D speaking on impacts and environmental convolution reverbs and audio propagation in Crackdown 2. And another one from Francois, who we had as part of the procedural discussion last year here on the Game Audio Podcast, speaking specifically with regards to convolution reverb at runtime. It's a bias again, but I can't help but feel like there is momentum in that area as we start to take steps forward towards, adding additional dynamics and realism to games.
I saw this. I noticed that you linked to an article about Crackdown 2. Unfortunately, that's something you have to pay for. Have you seen that article? I think you tweeted about it.
Indeed. So an interesting follow-up to that is that all of the research that has been done through Microsoft for the Crackdown 2 project now has been released via the speaker's site, and we'll make sure to link that on the podcast so that you can jump to it, and those are all free and ready to download, including video examples of both the procedural impacts with regards to physics and footfalls. So they did footsteps procedurally as well, using the resynthesis, explains the process and gives great examples. And then also the spatialization techniques that they use in order to get, dynamic reverb or contextually appropriate reverb from the geometry, from the space.
Let's drop the reverb for a second, because I want to focus on this resynthesis thing that they did. I saw one of the videos, and they showed 2 different methods that they had different applications for where it was the most efficient. And there was one called the modal resynthesis, and I don't remember the name of the other one. Do you remember off the top of your head what it's called?
So there was the modal resynthesis, yes. And then there was the one where it was they're shifting frequencies instead of modes. They're randomizing frequencies as part of the spectrum. And I don't remember the name of it exactly. But essentially that modal synthesis is similar in execution to Wyze's Sound Seed Impact plugin that they brought to market a couple of years ago.
So is the Crackdown 2 using Sound Seed, or is it using this Microsoft research?
It is using Microsoft research.
Cool.
So interesting pedigree for the speaker, who was previously a researcher at Chapel Hill Institution as part of the Gamma Project, which has driven a lot of runtime simulation for contact sounds, physics impact sounds, and such. Definitely was leading the charge academically, became a part of the Microsoft research group, and has really stepped up the game with regards to procedural over there. And it's kind of interesting to me because up until that point, I might have heard a whispering of it here or there, but I was not really attuned to Crackdown 2 having already been released and on the shelves using these techniques, which to me if these techniques are good enough for Microsoft, good enough for a AAA game, you know, that's good enough for me. And I really think it's pointing the way forward for how we can handle these things in the future.
So when we did the first podcast about procedural, one of the things that was my kind of critique of procedural at that time was there was not enough examples of it working practically yet. And WIs had just come out with their SoundSeed stuff, which was one of the first examples. And then I'm seeing now this Crackdown 2 example, and it sounds really good. I mean, I have only seen the video, and I definitely need to see it play Crackdown 2 before I can, like, judge it. But the stuff that they're showing in that video sounds, like, 100% usable, and the ease at which they can get different variations and the way they do it makes total sense. So I'm taking that game out this week and checking it out for sure.
Cool. And for all the bean counters at home, they pulled off all of that physics with 2 megs of memory total. And so
how much on the CPU though? Because I mean, of course, you're going to free up some memory if you're going to synthesize, but you're going to get, you know, CPU power used.
And so they had this ability within their simulation to clamp down on the number of modes being called at a time or being simulated at a time.
Yeah.
And in that video, they're running the simulation using a cap of 5,000 modes, and which is, you know, essentially the higher limit of what they were doing. They also run in that video the simulation running at 1,000 modes. And again, back to that idea of what is acceptable and pleasing, still holding up really well, even though they were not simulating every mode. And so this is giving them the ability to tailor to CPU usage and, like you're saying, not flood the CPU with these synthesis requests. And I think that because of that, they were able to do things very efficiently.
Yeah, I would love to see the impact of this in the full context of a game and not just a test level. But we're just going to have to get maybe Christopher in again or somebody who was working on Crackdown 2 and pick their brain on how they found this to work as sound designers. I think the theory and the proof of concept that they're showing online is very intriguing.
I agree. And the research that Nikunj Raghuvanshi has done with this really is setting the pace for where we need to be going in the industry in these areas. Yep. We haven't talked too much about it, and it's you know, way geekier than I can get on the spur of the moment. But their sound propagation modeling seemed like it was solving a lot of spatialization issues that that have kind of kept audio back from, you know, accurately representing a sense of space, and doing it dynamically with a lot of detail, high level of detail. The examples in that video are, you know, again, paving the way forward for this idea of spatialization outside of just 3D position in games.
Yep.
So really cool stuff. Again, pretty biased over here, right? I think we know that at the Game Audio Podcast, we are firm supporters in this procedural idea, or at least, you know, definitely have our eyes on that as a way forward.
All right. So in conclusion, the biggest hype for game audio at GDC was that procedural has arrived and is fully in the spotlight. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That sounds great. And that's definitely my perspective.
Hey, this is Carsten Royan, and you're listening to the Game Audio Podcast.
Jumping the shark, there was a great session. Now getting back to maybe a little more sound design aspect of games, there was a fantastic panel on Four Guns West with Charles Maynes, Ben Minto, Chuck Russum, and Chris Sweetman. And the four of them really took the idea of weapon sounds for games and completely flushed out the pipeline from recording, which Charles went over in depth with regards to his processes and some of the things he learned, through to the design side of things, where Chuck blew out layers and defined his workflow methodology with regards to how he stacks up different elements of weapons to make them sound badass. And then Chris Sweetman brought a lot of great insight into some of the creative aspects of sound design for weapons. He's working on and about to ship Brink over at Splash Damage.
Cool.
And it was, it sounded like it was less important that their weapons be realistic and more important that they have character. Mm. And so he defined a lot of processes that they were using to introduce synthetic elements and, different layers and creatively sound designing these different weapon sounds. And then all the way through to Ben Minto, who then talked about different implementation techniques for guns, you know. And I think that, you know, if you work in the industry long enough on weapons, sounds, you definitely come up with some best practices and favorite ways to do things. And certainly DICE has been down a lot of those roads in the past. And so he had a lot of great insight to share on how that all gets tied back into the game.
Yeah. There's a great video interview with Stefan Strandberg. All right, Stefan Strandberg, and they did Game Informer did a nice video about the Battlefield 3 sound team. So it's well worth checking out. There's a separate video with just the interview, but actually the whole thing is very much worth watching. So we'll link to that as well.
Cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. It dropped while I was at GDC, and I just haven't had a chance to get to it. But Stefan was there representing with Ben and some other guys from DICE, and it was a fantastic, fantastic conference. A lot of great people representing. The Four Guns West talk was great. Again, it just totally embodied an entire workflow for specifically for weapon sounds.
Now that we've mentioned Ben Minto already, just a quick segue into the release of the new soundtrack, which is a periodical published in the UK by the guys who do the School of Sound. And they did an interview with Ben Minto about game audio. And it's really cool overview of the game audio processes compared to film sound. More from slightly academic point of view, it's definitely not the most. It's more entry level as far as game audio goes, but it's definitely interesting read. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds great. We'll have to get a link up to that and take a peek.
Well, unfortunately, it's you have to pay for it. So, Ooh. Yeah. So you have to get a subscription on the magazine. I haven't read the whole magazine yet, just bought it online for that interview specifically. And it's interesting, but if you've already read something about DICE sound, or, you know, if you're working in the game industry, you're not going to read something you don't already know. So if but might be some of the other articles in there very interesting. I don't know. Just wanted to mention it.
From there,
so would you say that was the best talk that you saw of all the cutscenes that you watched? Is that the
all
one?
All the cutscenes that I watched.
Is that the one?
Okay, so how about this? We already talked about Nikunj and the Microsoft Research Procedural talk.
Yep.
We already talked about Four Guns West. Mm-hmm. There was a fantastic talk on the aesthetic approach to the score for Limbo.
Limbo. Mm-hmm.
Given by Stig Martin Anderson. And he essentially outlined from kind of his inception as a sound designer all the way through to the shipping Limbo and tracking his progress through time and understanding where he was coming from as a sound designer and composer. It was really easy to see where he ended up with the aesthetic for Limbo, which was very representational, very abstract at times, and definitely played with perception in the way that at times things were very realistically represented, and at other times he very much shifted the focus towards a more abstract soundscape. And so he gave a really good talk that I thought that identified the way that he was working to match the aesthetics visually of that game. And again, a fantastic audio experience really tied to the kind of gameplay. So fascinatingly, he had several different states to deal with. They're using WISE for mixing, and so he was tying to gameplay states in order to mix the game, and he used several of those states to adjust, you know, as he mentioned very specifically, the sound and levels of footsteps in the game. And interestingly enough, he made some choices aesthetically with regards to footsteps in order to either, you know, bring them closer to the surface or push them further back. And in one scenario, which he outlines, you know, very much chose to, you know, modify the way footsteps sounded in order to add a dreamy experience to what was happening in game, to mirror what was happening in game. And so that, of course, you know, piqued my radar because I gave a talk Friday morning, which was one of about six talks that day, I feel like, on audio that were, you know, definitely a lot of good stuff on Friday. And I guess if I have to, the last one I would say that was an absolute joy to experience was Emily Ridgway talking about her approach to music throughout her career in Destroy All Humans, Bioshock, and most recently, Brutal Legend. And just a very entertaining talk from someone who has been at it in a capacity to really direct a lot of attention towards music, and by saying attention, not necessarily being the focus, but in, I think we could all agree that in both Brutal Legend and Bioshock that music played a tremendous part of adding to the atmosphere of both of those games.
Mm.
So she had a lot of great insight on that. Everything from the publisher on one game wanting to have music that had fat beats in the game because that's what kids like, and instead delivering them a temp score using Bernard Herrmann, through to her work on Brutal Legend, which, although very linear and somewhat scripted in their approach, not hugely dynamic, interactive, of course. It definitely changes based on player input, but how she aesthetically set the tone and how creatively the studio worked very tightly with the game design, the story design, and delivering that through music in collaboration with gameplay. So another great talk at GDC.
Cool. Now, what was the best party?
Best party. Yeah. Oh. The best party is the one I didn't go to. How's that? The Copenhagen Game Collective put on a party in conjunction with Killscreen magazine, where they set up a bunch of independent games and Block Rock the Beats Thursday night. And while I did support their Kickstarter project and buy tickets, I did not end up going to it because my talk was early Friday morning. And so I chose to hold back from that. Now, the best party I went to, hands down for me, was the IASIG party. That's the Interactive Audio Special Interest Group party. And the reason is that community for me is such a open and free-flowing community, free of a lot of the posturing that might go on in other areas of the industry. And so there were just so many good opportunities, too many to even go into, to just break down some of the more interesting aspects of interactive sound and just get together with a group of people who is truly passionate for interactive and game audio.
Hmm.
So that was best party for me.
Cool. I'm actually reminded of the Gang Awards, now that you mentioned the ISIC. And I'm just looking at who won some Gang Awards this year. So it's Red Dead Redemption all over the place.
They swept it. They swept through that awards and picked up everything, and, you know, rightly so for their, you know, use of atmospherics and intense.
But I do see one of my favorites from 2010 in there as well. Sound Design of the Year went to Bad Company 2. Yes. Also, Multi-Channel Surround went to Bad Company 2.
Yes.
Red Dead won Audio of the Year, which is the big award. Music of the Year, which is second biggest, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a composer. I'm a sound designer, so I think otherwise, of course. Audio Other. I don't know what Audio Other is about, though. Did they explain what Audio Other is?
I did go, and I think the Audio Other category is evolving right now. It went to Microsoft Game Studio for their Halo tie-in property, and I think they're trying to extend the definition of what game audio is into some of these, you know, properties that might work in conjunction. And so the Halo Waypoint tie-in.
What is Halo Waypoint? Because I don't know it.
As far as I know, it's some kind of drama that operates within the Halo universe to support I think it was Halo Reach that was coming out. And so it's like this idea that it's in the same universe. It might support a big title that is on its way out. Let's just say that the Gang Awards are very much like the Oscars of our tiny piece of the industry. And, you know, it's one big cutscene that is a welcomed reprieve from the constant hustle on the floor. And so it was, I'm thankful to everyone who pulled together to put that show on, because it really does give a welcome reprieve, and also just gives us a moment to take a step back and reflect a bit on our industry, which I think is sometimes at a loss. And so,
all right, so we got some music from Disaster Piece. Let's use that to break up this discussion a little bit, and then we'll be right back. What was, now that we've dealt with the party shit, what was your burrito experience like this year?
Everyday burrito. Yes.
Breakfast burrito.
Yes, at the cafe right. venue. And I'm telling you, unofficial audio guy meetup when it's on at GDC.
Cool.
Best breakfast burritos in town. I also stumbled upon a really fine coffee shop open before the birds are singing. So for all you early risers who like to get up and go, Sight Glass Coffee down on 7th off of Howard is the place to get your morning fix. Best coffee roaster in town next to Four Barrel Coffee, which, man, we need to get some sponsorship from those dudes all of a sudden. But dang, that's some good coffee. So thank goodness for that. They kept me going the whole conference long.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that for me wraps up GDC because I wasn't there. I can't talk about it anymore. So do you have any post-GDC excitement that you need to get off your chest so you can get back to your grind?
Yeah, I guess I want to talk really briefly about the footsteps talk that I gave.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I had some really interesting conversations afterward that I'm really thankful to people for coming up afterward and further discussing it. But I guess the general tone of the talk that I gave is, of course, on the Informal Footsteps Sound Study article that I wrote last year. And then at GDC, it was just an attempt to raise an awareness of footsteps, Foley, and movement sounds in games and try to, shift some focus and give it some attention because it is important on a certain level. And so it was cool talking about Assassin's Creed 2, Mirror's Edge, and Prince of Persia, the differences between what are ostensibly, footstep games that involve a lot of free running and platforming and movement and Foley sounds, then to have, Ben Minto come up afterward and share some tips with regards to recording footsteps for Mirror's Edge and microphone placement being the key, not at the foot, but actually at the ear in order to add some realism to that. Mm-hmm. Similarly, with regards to the breathing that they recorded, not in front of the microphone, but again, at the ear in order to capture the natural dynamics of that.
For first person stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that was a tremendous insight that I'm really thankful for. His coming over to talk afterward. And then similarly, Matthew from Ubisoft Montreal came over to talk about Assassin's Creed 2 footsteps and Foley systems and recommended that I play the new Assassin's Creed Brotherhood to see how they stepped up their game. Ha, 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 ha. That was funny. So I guess they've done continue to do some work polishing out those systems and making those sound even better. So I'll be excited to dig into that game and hear how they have moved that technology forward. So that was great. And another piece of good feedback that I got that I guess I hadn't really thought about leading into the conference was that I was speaking at GDC not as someone who had done work in a game and came to expose that work, but as, absolutely a game audio geek and fan and someone who had spent some time, digging into a very focused topic.
Hmm.
And so the feedback I got that it was very interesting to get that perspective. And while, people were free to take or leave whatever I was dishing out with regards to my experience in the study, a lot of people felt very inspired to think more about footsteps and to think more about movement in games, because it really does play a key part of a lot of games. And when it does, it should get the attention that it needs in order to not be repetitive, distracting, or on the other side of the coin, in order to fit the tone of the game and fit the stylistic aesthetic of the game. And so great feedback from people on the floor. And I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who came, and thanks to everyone at GDC who spoke, and thanks to all the game audio people out there making games and raising the bar for game audio, because it's why a lot of us are in the industry. It's inspiration of the good work that everyone is doing out there. So that was my GDC takeaway, that, you know, we're all working on the same problems a lot of times, and everyone that I meet is pushing so hard to raise that bar for game audio. And I just wanted to say thanks to everyone I met, and thanks to everyone who was at GDC. And for those of you who weren't, dig into those presentations when they hit the net and learn what you can. We'll see you there next year.
Yeah, next year I'm going to be there.
Yes.
Yes. I'm making the commitment right now. Next year, GDC 2012. It might be the very last one in this universe, so I'm there. To wrap things up, I just wanted to mention that in about a month and a half from now, the School of Sound is having another conference kind of thing, which is pretty cool. Schoolofsound.uk is their website. They call it a symposium. And some very cool people there, including Randy Tom. And hopefully me, I'm working on that. So
that sounds like a great conference. And again, kind of, I saw some of the other topics and speakers, not just a game audio panel, but a lot of different facets of audio. And I think that
this is a unique series of masterclasses exploring the art of sound in film, the arts and media. It's in London, 27th of April, 30th of April. If you want to go, book now, get a hotel, because the royal wedding is happening at the same time. So getting a room will be problematic and expensive if you wait too long. And that wraps it up for me. Thanks for listening. Any feedback, please email us at inbox@gameaudiopodcast.com.
Rock and roll.